year. Man, there's a lot more of you in this service. So that means that whenever I say a joke, that I expect a lot more feedback. Okay, so should we practice like a courtesy line? We're not going to do that. Cool. Well, good morning. So it's so good to be with you on this important morning, man. As we celebrate everything that Jesus has done in the life of our seniors this morning. So at our church, we've created a family ministry milestone map, and it spans from birth all the way to high school graduation. So obviously this morning is our senior commissioning service, which is a service devoted to sending out all the students that have been through our ministry either for a long time or some for a shorter amount of time. Doesn't matter to us. And coincidentally, so later this afternoon is our next steps class, excuse me, for our little babies. And so it's kind of cool that today is a day of both sending out in our ministry, but then also in starting within our family ministry as well. So really exciting morning or day for us. So one thing for you to know about me before we get started is that I'm a pretty emotional person. So there's about an 80% chance that, man, it's just going to happen. Like, it's just, you know, so just get ready for it. All these guys over here, they're all used to it. They see it like every single week, but you guys are not. So just want to throw that out there. So thank you. That's right. Thank you. Appreciate that. So many of the students here today, man, I've had the privilege of See, I gave you a warning. Excuse me. All right. So I've had the, I got, yeah, it's good. I got this. Yeah, it's all good. So I've had the privilege of living in community with them for a few years now. So we've spent weeks together at camp. So we've served overseas together. We've prayed together. We've had difficult conversations. Excuse me. Whew. All right, and we've eaten lots of fast food together as well. Lots of Whataburger, lots of Taco Bell. It explains a lot for this morning. So I've seen many of you guys go through some really hard stuff, and in lots of ways, man, I've seen the fruit of the Spirit develop in your life, and so I'm very proud of you for that. And so as I was thinking through what passage to select for this morning. So the essence of how I feel for this group of seniors this morning, it seemed to sort of synchronize with how the Apostle Paul perhaps was feeling for the people that he wrote his letter to in the book of Colossians. So that's where we're going to be this morning. So in this book, Paul takes it upon himself to write a letter to a group of newer believers of which he played a role in their spiritual life. And so Paul starts off in his letter by just thanking God for them, by encouraging them, by letting them know that he's praying for them, letting them know that he loves them as well. And he tells them that he's praying that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in chapter 1, and that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him, and that they would bear fruit, which are all prayers that myself and, man, that countless others, including your families and parents, have prayed for you guys. And so as this letter continues on, we start to see why it is that Paul felt so compelled to write this letter to these people in the first place. And the reason is because Paul, he looked at the trend of the spiritual environment that they were in, and he noticed that, man, it was not trending in a good trajectory. That, man, it was not pointing, the trend of the culture was not pointing towards Jesus. And because he loved them and he wanted to warn them to not buy into that trend. So he tells them in chapter 2, don't let anyone take you captive by some other philosophy, by empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, he says, and not according to Christ. Or in other words, man, there's so many other things out there in this world that you guys could walk into. There's so many other dangerous ways of thinking. There's so many other things that are not according to Christ to pursue that may seem right in the moment, that may seem worth it, but at the end of the day, man, it's nothing new. It's just empty deceit. It's just elemental, meaning basic. There's nothing fancy about it. Basic, just sin. That's all it is. And so he's warning them on one hand, but then on the other hand, he's reminding them of what's true, and he's trying to give them some advice to help them to remain faithful to Jesus. So continuing on in chapter 3, which is where we'll be at this morning, 3 verses 1 through 17. So he starts getting more specific with how to actually do that. So how to remain in Christ, how to stay faithful when you're faced with other temptations of the flesh. And so as we move forward, so I pray that God's word would do the same for us as well, that as we look at Paul's instructions for staying close to Jesus by taking off the old self and putting on the new self. So we're going to read our passage this morning. I'm going to ask Ephraim Gamble to come up here. Ephraim, you're what, in the 8th grade, right? You're in the 11th grade?
7th.
Oh, 7th grade. Okay, gotcha. He's going into the 8th grade. So Ephraim's going to come up here. He's going to read our passage to us this morning. So go for it. Yeah, that's fine. Go for it.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear to him in glory. Put your death before what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and coveting, which is in adultery. And on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you have too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie and to put one another, seeing that you have put your old self with its practices, and you have put your new self, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here it is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ in all and all. But to them, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if you have complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in the heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Let's give a hand for Ephraim. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Cool. Let's pray together as we get started. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for what your word tells us, God, how you equip us, Lord, to stay close to you, Lord. And you do that by helping us to take off the old self and to put on the new self, Lord. So I pray that this morning, as we read your word, Lord, as we read what it says, and as we hear God's word this morning, Lord, I pray that it would penetrate our hearts. God, I pray that it would chisel off what doesn't need to be there. God, I pray that it would just direct us in the way that we need to go, Lord. We're nothing without you. We need you. We confess that on this morning, God. So speak to us through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So as a student minister, so the biggest week of the year, every year, is camp. So raise your hand if you've been to a summer camp before as a student. Okay, I don't see as much enthusiasm as I would anticipate. You know, I mean, it's fun. It's awesome. I love camp. So summer camps, they've been a big part of my life now for a long time. So in fact, there's only been one summer in the past 20 years, so literally 20 years, one summer that I haven't been to camp either as a student myself, as a college, counselor, and then as a youth pastor as well. So I've seen some things, y'all. All right, I've seen some things. So while that's the case for me, man, it's inevitable. So it doesn't matter what camp you go to. Okay, so lots of times, man, a student will go to camp. They'll have a super impactful and genuine, like it's not fake. It's a genuine experience where they get close to God. Where they confess sin, and where they get tight with their friends, and they come home and they just have this pure heart for Jesus, and unfortunately, man, over time that changes. If I could summarize this experience in a 15-second video, okay, it would be this. I love that video. I love that video. So good. So good. Man, I know that's a funny video, but man, isn't that true? Though, man, it's so true that this is oftentimes what happens, and it's easy for us to pick on camp, right? But man, it's the reality for all of us in different seasons of our life as well. So God rescues us. He restores us. He brings us back to safety and to security in Him. But because we sometimes don't know how to address the lingering or the indwelling sin that's still inside of us, even after God has given us a new heart, we're quick, and we're really quick to dive right back into sin. Sometimes it's a pencil dive, just like the sheep over there. Man, it's funny when we relate it to a video about, like that, but man, when it's in real life, it's not funny. It's so hard to watch. As a minister, as a parent, as a friend, and it's confusing to experience whenever it's you. And so pointing back to our text, so Paul, he loves this group of believers, and he wants to see the seed of the gospel that's been planted in them. He wants to see it show signs of fruit. He wants to see it to keep growing and growing. So he instructs them, this is how you keep going. This is how you fight the cravings of the flesh. And this is how you continually to faithfully fight for holiness when the camp high wears off, whenever the grind is real. You have to take off and you have to put on. And it's the same way for us this morning. So looking at the first few verses of chapter 3, so Paul, he sets the foundation here, and he charges them to set their minds on who they are in Christ, that at one time we were alienated from God because of our sin and blindness, but in his gracious love for us, God rescued us. God restored us back to himself, and he gave us a new identity in him. And so just as Christ died, came back to life, and will again appear, we too have died to our old self. We too will inherit an eternal home with Jesus one day. And now that he's reminded them of this, kind of in the beginning part of this passage, and now that he's set the foundation for moving forward, he gives them instructions for how to stay close to Jesus. And the first thing that he tells them is you have to put off the old self. He says, verse 5, says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. All anger and wrath and malice, slander, obscene talk, put those away from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Or in other words, let the old you that has already died be dead. So not too long ago, I took the chainsaw to a whole hedge of ivy bushes that were next to my house, and I cut them all down. I hate ivy bushes. If you want to hate me for my birthday, you can buy me ivy bushes. Okay, I hate ivy bushes. They're the worst. And because I cut them all the way down, man, they're gone. Like, they're out. But because there's still some roots and some remnants of the bushes that have yet to be pulled out, there's still these little branches that pop back up, and they start to grow out. So I have to go out there every few weeks, and I spray them with Roundup. That might not be the best environmentally conscious thing to do, but that's what I do. I'm just confessing it here before all of you. I spray my yard with Roundup multiple times a month. Hey, not the grass, not the grass. The grass is looking good. Okay. So it's the same way for us. So even after we have died to ourselves and been raised to walk in Christ, we still have to keep putting our sin to death. The tension that we feel in our own hearts and in this passage is the difference between what we know as justification and sanctification. So Romans 5, it tells us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So to be justified, it means to be declared righteous. That is your status. For all of your debts, all of your sins to be wiped away, to not be held against you. And that's what we are through Christ. We are justified. We're made righteous. Our sinful hearts have been cut out. But while that's our new status as being justified, as being children of God, while that's a new status, we are still being sanctified. We are still becoming in practice what God declares us to already be in Christ. I'm going to say that again. So to be sanctified, it means to become in practice what God already declares us to be in Christ. So on this side of heaven, there exists still deep inside of us this fungus or this root that will forever try to slowly grow and to take back over our life. And this fungus and this bitter root is called indwelling sin. And this indwelling sin that still remains inside of us is why Paul writes in Romans 7, he says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate to do. Man, what a terrible place to be in. To get off the bus from camp, to get home from a mission trip, to get back from community group as adults, to have the most genuine desire to follow Jesus and to stand for him, to be committed to him, but to then after some time, to start doing again and again the very thing that you hate doing. Man, what do we do? How do we stay faithful to Jesus after we get home from camp? How do we stay close to Jesus as we go off to college, as we get ready to start a job? How do we stay close to Jesus when we're trying to raise a family? So Paul tells us, We have to actively put to death what's earthly in us. To cut off all the sources of sexual immorality, all the sources of impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. To not sit back and be passive, but fueled by the Holy Spirit. To actively put away all malice and anger and slander and obscene talk. Because even though the sin that has been cut out of us, even though it's been cut out of us, and even though our lives have been hidden with Christ in God, as it tells us in verse 3, there are still some bitter roots that are there that want to spring up and to get between us and Jesus. And if you leave them there unattended, then man, they're going to start growing again, so you got to put them off. But important thing, okay, as we move forward, we don't just put our sin to death and then spend the rest of our days only managing it, only modifying it, only cutting back the branches that sometimes spring up again as if that's the summary of what it means to be a Christian. Just leaving a big hole where there used to be a bush. Man, no, that would be moralism. That would be anti-gospel. That is not the gospel. But instead, while we put to death our impurity and sexual immorality and slander and all the other indwelling sins inside of us, and by using the tools that God gives us in his word, confession, accountability, wisdom, all those things, we also put on the new self. So after we put to death and after we cut out, we don't just stand there unclothed and naked, as if the Christian life is just about not doing certain things and the Christian life is minimized down to only trying to not sin. So now we do the work of clothing ourselves, of conforming ourselves to the character and the will of God. That's a desire that only he can give us after we place our faith in him. So how do we do that? So now that we have taken off the old self, how do we put on this new self? And what new self are we supposed to put on? What does this look like? So Paul answers that question by breaking up the remainder of our passage into what scholars say is two different sections here. So the first section, verses 12 through 14, we see how we are to put on our new self when it comes to the way that we relate to each other, okay, especially the body of Christ. And in verses 15 to 17, we see how we are to put on the new self when it comes to the way that we relate to God. So briefly in verses 12 to 14, so Paul says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, we forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven us, so also you must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So all of these things that Christ has perfectly shown us, we are to rely on him and look to him as our source for showing them to each other. Man, just to state the obvious, man, that's not easy to do. Man, that's some hard work. If we all had the same personalities, if we all had the same interests and preferences and backgrounds, and this would be a whole lot easier, but we don't. That's just the reality. Man, a difficult one for me. So many of the people in this room like a college team known as LSU. But goodness gracious, that's not me. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for me. So immediately another one. Immediately I'm just letting it all out. Man, this is good. This is healing to me. So immediately after getting married, so Rachel, she quickly realized that I'm the kind of guy, I don't sleep with a bed sheet. Okay, I don't. Like, I haven't slept with one in a decade. So I'm a comforter only kind of guy. Can anybody attest to that? Anybody else? I see you, Gaspard. That's right. I got you, Caleb. There you go. Very good. Nice. Very good. Glad to see I'm not the only one. Very good. So far, she's been willing to let go of that. And I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. So the point is, so because we are God's people, because God has shown us an immeasurable amount of compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and forgiveness and love, he tells us to actively and daily put on the same thing towards each other. So the next time someone cuts you off in traffic, the next time you don't get the recognition that you probably deserve from your boss, so students, when you meet your new roommate, and man, it's not always going to be easy. I promise you that. I lived with other dudes for 8 years, so it's going to be weird at times. But man, you're going to have to practice some patience. We're called to consider the great mercy that God has shown us and to actively choose to put on that as well. And finally, verses 15 to 17, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is how we put on the new self in the way that we relate to God. So we let his peace rule in our hearts as we intentionally give him thanks. So God, there may be this, there's this trial that's going on in my life right now, but I'm still going to choose to thank you for who you are. God, thank you for the blessings that you've given me. Thank you for the new mercies that you've given me this morning. Thank you for the new life that you've given me today. Thank you, God. We dwell on his word and we help each other to dwell on his word as we teach and admonish each other and reading it, talking about God's word with other people, hiding it in our hearts so we don't sin against him. We choose to sing songs of praise and worship to him regardless of how we feel. And in everything we do, in the cubicle, in the office, in the classroom, wherever it is, in the dorm room, we do it all in his name and for his glory. So because we've been given new life, because God has rescued us and restored us back to himself, We stay close to him by actively putting off our old self. Because just like that bush that's cut out, there's still branches that still want to shoot up. So we got to actively put off the old self. And we stay close to him by actively putting on our new self. So at this time, I'd like to call up each of our seniors on the stage. You guys can come on up here and join me on the carpet. Thank you. So in a second, I'm going to pray for these guys, and I invite you to do the same thing. And just by way of showing agreement and by joining us in prayer as well, I just want to invite everybody in the congregation just to kind of raise your hands or maybe raise one hand as well just towards these seniors and join me as I pray for them as we send them off. So let's pray together. God, we thank you so much. God, for this group of seniors that are up here, Lord, thank you for the grace in their life, Lord, and bringing them to the point that they're at today, God. That's nothing less than your grace, Lord. You're the one that has accomplished these things in their life. So we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor for bringing them here, God. So God, as they get ready to transition into whatever is next, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would have a desire to stay close to you, or that you would be their greatest treasure. God, that you would be the one that they worship and the one that they love, Lord, and they would stay close to you by putting off the old self, Lord, all the old things, all the old habits, God, whatever it is, God, the slander, the immorality, whatever it is, all the things, God, they would put to death those things. They would cut them out, Lord, and they wouldn't just stand there with nothing, God, that then they would put on the new self, Lord, that they would be reminded, Lord, that they are clothed in your righteousness, God, so they would put on worship, they would put on thankfulness, they would put on compassion. Lord, so I thank you for these students, God, and I just can't wait to hear what you're going to do in their lives in the coming months, in the coming years, Lord. So we send them out this morning. In your name we pray, amen. You guys can head that way.